when between his strokes he looked ever and again over his shoulder at what lay before the boat's way. Though Vetch could not see the dark slopes beneath unmoving stars, yet he began to see with his wizard's eye a darkness that welled up in the hollows of the waves all around the boat, and he saw the billows grow low and sluggish as they were choked with sand. If this were an enchantment of illusion, it was powerful beyond belief. To make the open sea seem land? Trying to collect his wits and courage, Vetch spoke the revelation spell, watching between each slow-syllabled word for change or tremor of illusion in this strange drying and shallowing of the abyss of ocean. But there was none. Perhaps the spell, though it should affect only his own vision and not the magic at work about them, had no power here. Or perhaps there was no illusion, and they had come to world's end. Unheeding, Ged rowed always slower, looking over his shoulder, choosing a way among channels or shoals and shallows that he alone could see. The boat shuddered as her keel dragged, yet under that keel lay the vast deeps of the sea, yet they were aground. Ged drew the oars up, rattling in their locks, and that noise was terrible, for there was no other sound. All sounds of water, wind, wood, sail were gone, lost in a huge, profound silence that might have been unbroken forever. The boat lay motionless. No breath of wind moved. The sea had turned to sand, shadowy, unstirred. Nothing moved in the dark sky or on that dry, unreal ground that went on and on into gathering darkness all around the boat as far as I could see. Ged stood up and took his staff and lightly stepped over the side of the boat. Vetch thought to see him fall and sink down in the sea that surely was there behind this dry, dim veil that hid away water, sky, and light. But there was no sea anymore. Ged walked away from the boat. The dark sand showed his footprints where he went and whispered a little under his step. His staff began to shine, not with the werelight, but with a clear, white glow that soon grew so bright that it reddened his fingers where they held the radiant wood. He strode forward away from the boat, but in no direction. There were no directions here, no north or south or east or west, only towards and away. To Vetch, watching, the light he bore seemed like a great slow star that moved through the darkness, and the darkness about it thickened, blackened, drew together. This also Ged saw, watching always ahead through the light, and after a while he saw, at the faint outermost edge of the light, a shadow that came towards him over the sand. At first it was shapeless, but as it drew nearer it took on the look of a man. An old man, it seemed, gray and grim, coming towards Ged. But even as Ged saw his father, the smith, in that figure, he saw that it was not an old man, but a young one. It was Jasper. Jasper's insolent, handsome young face and silver-clasped gray cloak and stiff stride. Hateful was the look he fixed on Ged across the dark intervening air. Ged did not stop, but slowed his pace, and as he went forward he raised his staff a little higher. It brightened, and in its light the look of Jasper fell from the figure that approached, and it became Petchvere. But Petchvere's face was all bloated and pallid like the face of a drowned man, and he reached out his hand strangely, as if beckoning. Still Ged did not stop, but went forward, though there were only a few yards left between them now. And then the thing that faced him changed utterly, spreading out to either side as if it opened enormous thin wings, and it writhed and swelled and shrank again. Ged saw in it for an instant Skjor's white face, and then a pair of clouded, staring eyes, and then suddenly a fearful face he did not know, man or monster, with writhing lips and eyes that were like pits going back into black emptiness. At that, Ged lifted up the staff high, and the radiance of it brightened intolerably, burning with so white and great a light that it compelled and harrowed even that ancient darkness. In that light, all form of man sloughed off the thing that came towards Ged. It drew together and shrank and blackened, crawling on four short taloned legs upon the sand, but still it came forward, lifting up to him a blind, unformed snout without lips or ears or eyes. As they came right together, it became utterly black in the white mage radiance that burned about it, and it heaved itself upright. In silence, man and shadow met face to face and stopped. Aloud and clearly, breaking that old silence, Ged spoke the shadow's name. And in the same moment, the shadow spoke without lips or tongue, saying the same word. Ged! And the two voices were one voice. Ged reached out his hands, dropping his staff, and took hold of his shadow, of the black self that reached out to him. Light and darkness met and joined and were one. But to Vetch, watching in terror through the dark twilight from off over the sand, it seemed that Ged was overcome, for he saw the clear radiance fail and grow dim. Rage and despair filled him, and he sprang out on the sand to help his friend or die with him, and ran towards that small fading glimmer of light in the empty dusk of the dry land. But as he ran, the sand sank under his feet, and he struggled in it as in quicksand, as though a heavy flow of water, until with a roar of noise and a glory of daylight and the bitter cold of winter and the bitter taste of salt, the world was restored to him, and he floundered in the sudden, true, and living sea. Nearby, the boat rocked